Welcome to the room. We're going to start off on, this will be lesson number 15 out of the Gospel Misunderstandings series. And I hope it, you know, if you've got one of these misunderstandings, I hope you'll look to the scriptures that are provided to get straightened out. We're going to have just a brief review of where we left off yesterday. Paul addressed this epistle to the church of the Thessalonians. That would be 1 Thessalonians we're talking about, that epistle. But he didn't address it to the synagogue of Thessalonica, where he had visited, where he'd preached the gospel of God there in Acts 17. And some of the believers, some of the listeners, the Jews there in the synagogue, some of them believed and consorted with Paul, is the term used. They formed a group. And Acts 17:17 says there was a meeting. Not talking about the same place, but talking about Paul forming meetings, Paul's meetings, not synagogue meetings, of when the people would believe and come out of the synagogue. They would have to come out of the synagogue. We read the verses the other day, especially John 16:2, but there are a couple other verses that say the same thing, very, very similar things, that they had to leave the synagogue if they believed Jesus was the Messiah and was resurrected. So when Paul wrote back to them, he wrote to that meeting of believers, the ones that consorted together. In that case, he wasn't there because he'd been chased out of town, but he wrote to them. And so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Three things here. Work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. So you can see he's got faith, love, and hope there. But not just bare like that. He says that your work of faith, it produced an outcome. In other words, their faith was real. Labor of love, it produced an outcome. God so loved the world that he gave. Love gives. Your labor of love. And then patience of hope. Waiting in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. He remembered, Paul did, remembered those things in his prayers. He said, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. That means that when Paul prayed, he prayed about eternal things in the lives of the believers, not about temporal things regarding our flesh. And I'm sure you've heard, you know, my ingrown toenail hurts, pray about that, and things like that. We can pray about being able to live beyond this weekend to spread the gospel and to be an influence and an encouragement to other believers, things like that. But notice that he prayed about their faith, their love, and their hope. And there, well, aren't faith, hope, and charity the three things that Paul was inspired to tell us that they'll abide forever? They're eternal things. They're not temporal. So let's keep those things in mind as we place importance on prayer about spiritual growth, our own spiritual growth, and that of others, other believers that we're praying for. And notice also that for believers, at least, each of us, well, those three characteristics there, they entail some doing, some effort to achieve them. They did not just have faith, but they had faith that produced a work of faith. They didn't just have love, but that love produced a labor of love. And they didn't just have hope, but that hope produced a long-suffering, a patience of hope. We're saved by faith alone, in the grace alone of God, without our works, without any works of ours. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying that, let me start that over. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It's talking about people that are already saved, and it's not talking about keeping the law. Good works would fit in with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15, about building the body of Christ. But after we're saved, we are in a flow-through relationship, like Steve was talking about. You've received the grace of God, now pass it on. Be gracious to others, in other words. It's a flow-through relationship in which God's will and His character is made known on earth through the believer and through the body of Christ, believers in the body of Christ. Let's go on to the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And remember, the dictionary says that, you know, a synonym for to elect is to choose. So election means choice. So it's as if Paul was saying, knowing, brethren, your choice of God. And the next two verses, 5 and 6, go on to describe the choice that those Thessalonians had chosen. But before reading those verses, 5 and 6, let's review what we discovered about Paul and what Paul knew when he wrote his first epistle to the Thessalonians. When Paul sat down to start, well, sat down figuratively, I guess. It doesn't say he sat, but just thinking in those terms, when he started out writing this epistle in Acts 18, just after he left Thessalonica in Acts 17, by the time he wrote in Acts 18, he had already received back the comforting, joyful news from Timothy that the gospel of God-believing Thessalonians had now received the saving gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As he wrote, you know, in his writings, Paul, he was combining the events there in 1 Thessalonians, combining the events of his visit to Thessalonica in Acts 17, 1 through 8. He was combining those with the events of Timothy's mission and apostleship back to Thessalonica that Paul later wrote about in the third chapter of this epistle that we've covered, I was going to say briefly, but we covered it several times pretty extensively. Now you get down to 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, and here is where there is a misunderstanding projected on us by some people, and I've defined the use of some people at in the first lesson. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Back in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Our gospel, he said. Our gospel that Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 1:5 is the answer to what they chose or elected in verse 4. That gospel came to them in power. It came in power to save. as Paul said, that the gospel of Christ did in a dispensation of the gospel. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's God's power unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. That's Romans 1:16, which is often ignored by those who misunderstand the Gospels. Let's not ignore it. Let's not leave it out. Let's not adapt it. Let's not leave off the last nine words of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So to see a great ensample of that, we're going to look in the next verse here that we're looking at, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. In much affliction, they received the word. And if you remember when we started out, it used the term much contention, that Paul preached the gospel of God in much contention there in Thessalonica before he was kicked out. So going on, we'll read 1 Thessalonians 1:7, 1:8, and 1:9, starting in verse 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And that's one thing that Daryl brings out often, that they passed it on, once they were saved, they'd pass it on to the rest of their family, their friends. Some of them were Jews, some of them were aliens, so Gentiles that had no connection with Israel and didn't care about God. This would be even before Paul was specifically sent to that type of people. Ascending is not a restriction. He wasn't restricted from going to all people before he was specifically sent to all people. He was sent to and responsible for preaching the word to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but it doesn't say don't preach to other people. It's not the same as Christ saying in Matthew 10:5, go not into the way of the Gentiles. We kind of blur across that line thinking it's the same for us in the body of Christ. No, Paul could go and preach to anybody he wanted to. He just wasn't sent to all people yet until Acts 20. So let me get back to, I'll start again in verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 1:8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols. From idols? Did they have idols in the synagogue in Thessalonica? Yes, they had idols in the synagogue right there in Thessalonica. And that was not something new either. Let's look at some verses in Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel was grieved about the same thing. Look, we'll start in Ezekiel 8:6, and we're going to go probably, let's go 10 about through 16, I think. So I'm going to go ahead and read pretty much without comment. It's very self-explanatory about the idols in the synagogue, not only in the synagogue but in the Jewish temple. Idols in the place where God was to dwell. Verse 6, Ezekiel 8:6. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here? That I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Verse 7. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold a hole in the wall. Verse 8. And, excuse me, he, verse 8, then said he unto me, Son of man, see now in the wall, dig now in the wall, and when I had digged in the wall, behold a door. Verse 9, and he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Verse 10, so I went in and saw, and behold every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Verse 11, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Verse 13. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Verse 14. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Verse 15, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And finally, verse 16, and he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. S-U-N, sun. And a couple verses now following up where we were. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's a difference between affliction or contention or the hardship they were going through and the wrath of God. There's a big difference. It's worthy. It's worth going through the difficulties here. So, the last part of verse 9, and the first, I'll reread it, but the last part of verse 9 and the first part of 10 are the combined faith of the Thessalonians toward the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ together. I should say, probably instead of toward, I should say regarding through the gospel. Anyway, let's look at those two, starting with the second half of 9 and reading the first half of verse 10. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. So you can see both Gospels are mentioned, accounted for there. The remainder of verse 10 is belief in the gospel of Christ. We're about to close here, but I just want to read the last half of verse 10 and then read 9 and 10 together again to close. Here's 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, the second half. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's not characteristic of the kingdom gospel or the gospel of God. That's he's talking about people affected by the gospel or that had believed the gospel of Christ. So just reading those two verses and then closing. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Past tense. The wrath is to come, but we're already delivered from it. Praise God. All right, I'm done with the lesson. Any questions? We'll try to tackle any questions that came up. Wasn't that a vivid portrayal of Israel's, the depth of Israel's rebellion against God there in Ezekiel 8? Misrepresentation of the lesson. Gospel misunderstandings. The misunderstanding. I've got those detailed. Let me go back. I've got them in purple ink. And this one, we've been on for several lessons. I had to divide it up. Even though there are 39 different misunderstandings, this one is a long one. And I'm going back. Hold on. I might have those only in... No, I've got them here, too. I don't... Hold on. I might not have brought some of those over. I'm doing a text version, too, so that we can look back if there's an interest to find a particular misunderstanding or false teaching or whatever. We can go back and look through without having to listen to, what is it going to be, 27 hours of lessons or whatever. All right, I see here it's Gospel Misunderstandings, number 27, Thessalonica under a microscope. So this wasn't about a particular, it involved several misunderstandings, but it's more a declaration of what was going on and why there was the picture of what went on at Thessalonica to deepen our understanding when we see people like, I don't know if you heard the lesson before me. I'm not talking about Steve here in this room. I'm talking about Bible Truth for Today, I think it's called, and Willard Sessoms. My tongue is so sore from biting my tongue, so I wouldn't... anyway, just figuratively. Several things were blatant, use of additions to the Scripture or subtractions from it, ignoring the last six words of Romans 11:11, ignoring the last nine words of Romans 1:16, and saying that it's all Gentiles, even though God says it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Even though God says in the Bible, it says that it was to the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to wrath.